Normally, when we go somewhere to eat, I always get overwhelmed if the menu is big. I always get overwhelmed when there's too many choices. Because when I sit down and I'm thinking about what to eat, I realize there's too many things that I want. I'm in trouble if there's breakfast food. I love hash brown. I love sandwiches. I love burgers. I love Italian food. And when a menu has all of these things, I'm literally there. I'm the last person on the table ordering, and I want everyone else to go because I have a hard time deciding what I want for that meal. That's why In-N-Out is sometimes great, because you essentially have one choice and variations of that one choice. You know, do you want a hamburger? You want with cheese? You want no buns and lettuce? You know, there's so many options, but it's essentially just one choice. And that's why In-N-Out, I think, is so great. I think for many of us living in America, that we also get overwhelmed with choices. And I'm not just talking about just daily choices. But there's too many things that we want. There's too many things that we want in life. There's too many things that you can live for. There are too many things that you can make your treasure as you live day to day. And we all have something we consider as treasure. We all have something that we consider valuable. And this is why Jesus' word, it's so perfect. We all have treasures. We all have something that we consider valuable. For some, it may be money. For some, money is a means to all things, including happiness, some still believe. Maybe for some of us, treasures and things that we consider valuable are just tangible things. I mean, I know a handful of people that have just boxes and boxes of Jordans in their closet. That's their treasure. They're going to bank in. That's their retirement one day when it sells for thousands or however much. Maybe for some of us, the treasure that we value is our families. Maybe it's our current family. Maybe it's our current spouse. Maybe it's our current children. Or for some of us, maybe it's a future family. It can be this way if we're single or if we don't have kids. This treasure that we want so badly, it could be to get married. It could be a spouse. It can be to have children. Maybe for some of us, the treasure is in our heart. Maybe it's something intangible. Maybe it's some sort of status or position in the workplace. Maybe it's having a certain kind of reputation among your friends. Maybe it's even having certain sort of experiences in life as you travel. And I think for the children that are here, we all have treasures as well, right? It can be toys. It can be our favorite toys. It can be maybe being able to go somewhere that you really love going to. And maybe even a treasure are your own parents. Maybe you treasure and you value your own parents so much. And these treasures, for all of us, Jesus says, these are things that we lay up for ourselves. He's essentially saying, whatever we want to make our treasure, we want to store it up. We want to keep it safe. We want to gather it up. It's not only about collecting things, right? What do we do with our treasures? We want them to last. We want our treasures to be safe. I remember when I was growing up with my younger brother, I wanted my favorite toys to be safe from my younger brother. I didn't want him to touch them. I didn't want him to play with them. I wanted them to be safe. That's what we want with our treasures. We want them to last, and we want them to be safe. Jesus helpfully breaks it down to basically two options, two categories of treasure. He says that you can have treasures on earth, and he says you can have treasures in heaven. What does he say about treasures on earth? If you look at verse 19, he says, treasures on earth are things where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Things that can be destroyed, things that can be stolen, things that don't last. I think in the last several weeks, I think a lot of us saw on the internet how people were trying to prove this very point with the iPhone 6. They don't last. These can be destroyed. We see that with other kinds of property, cars and homes. These are things that can be destroyed, whether it's because of entropy, things that just decay over time. It can be because of natural disasters or just the elements. Even because of accidents, these are things that can easily be destroyed. Even something intangible like your image or your reputation. So often it takes so many days, years, maybe even your whole lifetime to uphold and maintain a certain sort of image. But how easily is that image destroyed? all it takes is one mistake. All it takes is one bad day for an image or your reputation to be destroyed. Treasures on earth, they can be destroyed, but they're also not safe. Burglars and robbers can also steal things, but we're talking a little bit more and more deeply than just physical things being stolen. I believe age, that's a thief of our athleticism. Maybe some of you are thinking and coming out to our basketball nights and you're thinking, man, age is a thief of my athleticism. Time can be a thief of our memories. Illness can be a thief to our health. Death can be a thief to our loved ones. And in effect, with treasures on earth, whether we're talking about money, whether we're talking about property, people, even something intangible, what Jesus is trying to help us to see is that these are things that we always need more of. There's always a need for novelty. We always need something new, not only something more, but we need something new. There's always a need for repair and replacement. Treasures on earth, they don't last. They're not safe. I just want to say a point of clarification, though. What exactly is Jesus prohibiting? He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Notice that he doesn't say, do not have treasures on earth. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasures on earth are not necessarily bad in and of themselves. Sometimes they're very much necessary. Money, it could be a treasure on earth. But God calls us to work. He calls us to provide for our families. Money is something that we need. Wanting to travel, wanting to experience good food all over the world. These are good things. Things that we're even meant to enjoy. Jesus doesn't call us to a life of poverty. But at the same time, he warns us against a life of self-indulgence, a life of selfish ambition, a life of hoarding. I think it was several weeks ago, and even Pastor Andy mentioned this parable, but in Luke 12, there's a parable of a rich man where he wants to build larger and larger storehouses for his crops. And essentially, he's trying to store up for future security. He's trying to store up for his own comfort. And the tragedy of it all is that he dies before he gets to enjoy them. And what Jesus says in that chapter is one's life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. One's life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Having treasures on earth, that's one thing. But laying up for yourselves treasures on earth, that's an entirely different thing. And Jesus warns us against that. Jesus warns us against living for the wrong things. Treasures on earth, they need to have their rightful place in our lives. That's what he says about treasures on earth. But what does he say about treasures in heaven? He says treasures in heaven, moth and rust, they don't destroy treasures in heaven. It says that thieves do not break in and steal treasures in heaven. Contrary to treasures on earth, treasures in heaven do last. They are safe. And I think another place in Scripture that kind of paints a picture that clarifies this a little bit for us is in 1 Peter 1:4. And if you actually turn there with me, if we turn to 1 Peter 1:4, it talks about these treasures in heaven, an inheritance that God has provided for us. It says in chapter 1, verse 4 of 1 Peter, that it's an inheritance that is imperishable, it's undefiled and unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you. Another word for kept is guarded. It's guarded in heaven for you by who? By God. These treasures in heaven, this inheritance, it's imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading, and it's guarded in heaven by God. These are the treasures in heaven that Jesus is talking about. But what are these treasures? What is this inheritance? Jesus isn't saying, laying up for yourself treasures in heaven, that's like laying up for yourself good works so that you can get into heaven. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying lay up for yourself more and more good works to balance out the negative, to increase, if you will, a goodwill, a good works sort of bank in heaven so you can get in. No, he's not talking about that. But these treasures in heaven, these are things that are qualitatively different and better than treasures on earth. And I'd like to propose that these treasures in heaven are at least these three things. I was looking through scripture for things that we are to receive, things that are in heaven that are kept for us. And I came across at least these three things. Treasures in heaven are, number one, it's God's kingdom. Treasures in heaven, it's eternal life. Treasures in heaven, it's perfect righteousness. It's God's kingdom, it's eternal life, and it's perfect righteousness. And one of the things that you quickly notice about these sort of treasures is these aren't treasures that you can earn. These are only treasures that you can receive. You can't earn to get into and belong to God's kingdom. You can't earn for yourself eternal life. You can't earn for yourself perfect righteousness. But these are things that we can only receive. And it says, and for example, James 2:5, you don't have to turn there, but at least for your own reference. In James 2:5, it talks about being heirs of the kingdom, which God has promised to give to those who love him. In other words, if we love God by loving Jesus, the Bible is saying that God promises to give you his kingdom. This is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is a kingdom where there will be perfect security and peace under the loving rule and kingship of God. God's kingdom is a treasure in heaven that we'll receive. Eternal life is also something that Scripture says is a treasure in heaven. In James 1:12, it talks about a crown of life. It talks about a crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Again, what is the Bible saying? It's saying that if you love God by loving Jesus, God promises to give you eternal life. Another imagery that the Bible paints for us is in Revelation 2:7. It says, when you get to heaven and you see God, if you believe God, if you've loved Jesus, he says he's going to let you eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Again, this is the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. He says, welcome home. And he gives us this imagery of us being able to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God, in the presence of God. And even when we think about perfect righteousness, in 2 Timothy 4:8, it says how we'll receive a crown of righteousness from Jesus. And it says that he'll give it to those who love him, who look forward to his coming. And so these three things the Bible talks about being treasures that, again, are not earned, but treasures that are promised to be given to those who believe and love Jesus. These are treasures that cannot be destroyed. These are treasures that cannot be stolen. And this is great assurance for us. If you believe in Jesus and you belong to God's kingdom, that's something that can never be taken away from you. When you believe in Jesus, eternal life, that's something that can never be taken away from you. Even the hope and promise of becoming like Christ, even that promise, that's something that can never be destroyed or taken away from you. That's something that will definitely come in the future. I want us to consider not only just this concept of treasures in heaven, but what does it mean to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven while we're living each day here in this life? What does it mean to lay up for ourselves these treasures in heaven? Because in one sense, these treasures in heaven are ours through faith in Christ. They are something that already belong to us. But in another sense, because we're not in heaven yet, we can't fully enjoy these things yet, right? So what does it mean when Jesus says, lay up for yourselves in the present these treasures in heaven, which are already yours through faith in Jesus Christ? And again, if we turn to 2 Peter 1:10, he gives us another statement that clarifies what I believe Jesus is saying in our passage today. In 2 Peter 1:10, when we're thinking about what it means for me to lay up treasures in heaven, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. He says, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Your calling and election, that's something that you already have if you believe in Jesus. But he says, make that more sure. Be diligent about it. What I believe Jesus is saying when he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, as we're thinking about 2 Peter 1:10, is live in the present, not as if you belong to another kingdom or as if you're trying to build up your own kingdom. Live in the present as if you already belong to God's kingdom. He's saying, live in the present, not as if this life is all that there is, but live in the present as if you already have eternal life. This is only the beginning. This is only the preface of what's to come. Jesus is saying, live in the present, not cynically as if there's no hope for people or yourself to change, but live in the present with great hope that loving God and loving others is not in vain. This is what it means for us to lay up for ourselves in the present treasures in heaven. And what a contrast, right? What a contrast between treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. It's almost as if someone's saying to you, hey, do you want to eat this meat that's been sitting in the sun? And I don't think it was even cooked right. I think it's overcooked. Do you want to eat this meat? Or do you want to eat this other steak that's perfectly cooked and perfectly aged? It's almost as if Jesus is presenting to us these sort of options, and he's trying to make it obvious. That's exactly what Jesus wants us to see. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I think one of the pressing, sort of exposing questions for us as we consider this is, why don't we do that? Knowing that it's this obvious, treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven, why don't we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven more? Why is it that we find ourselves still tempted to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth? If treasures on earth and laying up for ourselves treasures on earth, if that's a spiritual symptom, Jesus gives us two diagnoses as to why this is so. If laying up for ourselves treasures on earth is a spiritual symptom, he gives us two diagnoses in the following verses. He first talks about our eyes. If you look at verses 22 and 23, Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What is Jesus saying? What he's saying is the condition of your eyes helps you to see reality, helps you to process reality. And that makes sense, right? In the physical sense, if you have healthy eyes, you are able to see reality clearly. In one sense, your eye is full of light. The light's going in, and you're able to process reality in a very real and accurate way. But if your eye is bad, if you have contacts like me, or if you're blind as a bat, if you don't have any sort of prescription over your eyes, if your eye is bad, what happens when you take those things out? Everything is blurry. You're not able to see things. You might as well be blind. You might as well be in darkness because you can't see and process things the way that you're supposed to. But what about in the spiritual sense? Because again, Jesus is getting to the heart. He's saying, if your spiritual eyes are healthy, your body will be full of light. If your spiritual eyes are bad, your body will be full of darkness. Light and darkness, when you look through Scripture, has very big spiritual significance. If you look through Scripture and you see what light refers to, it often refers to God, that God is light. That walking in the ways of God, it's walking in the light. You notice that Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. It mentions those who love Jesus, who want to follow Jesus, how they become children of light. And so we see these kind of references when we think about light. On the flip side, when you look at darkness, what Scripture says darkness is it's all about Satan, it's about his kingdom, it's about his ways, about living life as if there's no God. Those who don't know Christ, those who don't follow Christ, they remain in darkness. And so we think about what Scripture says, that this is what light and darkness is about. When Jesus says, if your eye is healthy, your body's going to be full of light, what is he saying? He's saying, if your eye is healthy, if you can properly see, and it's interesting, in the Greek, it actually means single. If your eye is single, if you have a single focus, if you have a single direction in terms of your eyes, and you see God, He sheds light on everything else that you see. If you have eyes that are healthy, you're able to see reality. You're able to process reality through the lens of Scripture. You're able to see treasures on earth for what they are. You're able to see treasures in heaven for what they are. But again, on the flip side, if your eye is bad and your body is full of darkness, what Jesus is saying is that you're seeing reality without God in the picture. You're not able to clearly see what treasures on earth really are. You're not able to see what treasures in heaven, what they really are. And we have a hard time processing reality. If your eyes are healthy, you'll value treasures in heaven more because it's that obvious. And so the question for us is, what is the condition for our eyes? If this is one of the diagnosis of why we lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, a question to ask ourselves is, if nearsightedness means I see things that are closer more clearly, am I spiritually nearsighted? Do I see treasures on earth more clearly than treasures in heaven? However, if you're farsighted, that means what? That you see things that are farther away more clearly. If you're spiritually farsighted, do you see treasures in heaven more clearly than treasures on earth? A second diagnosis that Jesus gives concerns your master. It's not only about your eyes and the condition of your eyes. He also says that your master plays a big part. You notice in verse 27 or 24 that Jesus says no one can serve two masters. And you'll notice later in the verse that the masters Jesus has in mind is God and money. Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. And when we think about money, we think about wealth. We need to think a little bit more broadly. It's money, yes, but it also includes possessions. It includes our resources. And here's an interesting thought. Having both doesn't necessarily mean you're serving both, right? Having both God and money doesn't necessarily mean you're serving both. But Jesus's concern is which one is consistently higher priority in your life. Which one consistently serves as a means to the other? Because what Jesus is saying is you can only have one master. You can't serve both. It's not like having two employers. It's not like you have two jobs where you can split your time, your energy, your resources, all that. You can't split that between two jobs and two employers. He's saying with masters require a full and complete devotion and commitment from their slaves, right? That's exactly what he's saying. We're dealing with masters, not employers in our life. Things like God and money, they're not employers over your life. They're masters, and you can only have one master. I think the issue for many of us isn't that we're saying, you know what, I'm going to choose to serve wealth over God. I don't think any of us are saying that. Even those people who don't believe in God and who don't believe in the Bible are already coming to realize, you know what, just serving wealth simply isn't enough. They're realizing that it has to be something more. And so I think the issue for so many of us isn't that we're choosing one over the other. The issue for so many of us, including myself, is that we're trying to serve both. We're convincing ourselves that, you know what, I can serve both. And you know what, I'm strong-willed enough, I'm convicted enough that wealth will be a means to serving God. But in our hearts, deep down in our hearts, we're wanting to serve both. We want both God and money, or God and wealth, to be our masters. But if what Jesus is saying is true, what we'll quickly realize, again, is that we can only serve one master. One's going to come out on top. And with God, there are no gods before him. He's a jealous God, the Bible says. He won't tolerate him being one of many. And even with our weak and feeble hearts, what we'll end up doing is if when we try to serve both, we'll end up serving wealth. When we try to serve both, we'll end up serving wealth. And this is what this might look like. We might come on Sundays and worship God. We might even do devotions during the week and even serve the church wherever we can. But if we're serving wealth, or when we're trying to serve both God and wealth, what we'll find is that the priorities in our life, it's all about laying up treasures on earth. What we find is not only our priorities, but even our prayer life. So much of that is concerned about laying up for ourselves treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven. So Jesus asks you today, who is your master? Who are you serving? Because what he's doing is he's threading a line between these three sections. He's saying treasures on earth. When you're starting to treasure that and lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, your eyes are bad. And eventually, you'll be serving wealth. However, if you're striving to lay up treasures in heaven, your eyes are healthy. And you'll be serving God. How can we become people who strive to lay up treasures in heaven? How can we become people who are spiritually farsighted? How can we become people who serve God alone as master? And I think the key is what Jesus says in verse 21. What Jesus says is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The problem is that our hearts follow our treasure or our treasures, and our treasures are constantly changing. Don't you find that to be true? Our hearts follow our treasures, and our treasures are constantly changing. What you deemed to be valuable and a treasure when you were single in college, it's probably a little bit different if you're now working. Once you become married, what you consider to be valuable and a treasure, again, it's constantly changing. And once you have kids, even it changes yet again in terms of what your treasure is or what your treasures are. And what Jesus is saying is when these treasures, when we're making these treasures on earth, even good things, treasures on earth, and we're laying up for ourselves these things, he's saying your heart is constantly going from one to the other, one to the other. It's so true in the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, where it says how our hearts are so prone to wander. Our hearts are so prone to wander, and it's because, as Jesus says here, it's because our hearts follow our treasures, and our treasures are constantly changing. And so it makes sense that if we want our heart to be true, if we want our hearts to be more consistent, doesn't it make sense to simplify your options and make only one thing your treasure? And that's essentially what God does for us. And that's exactly what God reveals through his scripture. He's saying, don't chase all these other treasures, but chase the one and only true option that you really have and make Jesus your treasure. Make Jesus your one treasure. And when we think about the gospel, the amazing thing about the gospel isn't that we're just trying to compel ourselves to love Jesus more, to treasure Jesus more. But no, the gospel says, you know what? First, think about how Jesus treasured you. I couldn't help but think about Marvin Gaye's song about how he says there's ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you. And I thought, man, he's got nothing on Jesus. Because Jesus said, you know what? There ain't nothing that's going to get in between me and you. Even heaven and going down to earth, that's not going to stop me. Even your sins, that's not going to stop me. Even the cross, that's not going to stop me from getting to you. That's how much he treasured us. And if you think about loving Jesus after you receive this sort of gospel, being farsighted is a little bit easier. Because who are you fixing your eyes on? You're fixing your eyes on the lover of your soul. When I was going to seminary and I was down in Escondido, that's 2 hours away, you know, you sometimes say, you know, bodily you were there, but your spirit, you're like in L.A. because Bora was in K-Town. It's easy to think and be farsighted when someone that you love is there. You may be physically present in one place, but your mind is somewhere else. When Jesus is the lover of your soul, it becomes a little easier to fix your eyes to heaven. And even think about God as master. God is not a master who's cruel, but God is a master who, through Christ, he first served you. It says that he came to serve, not to be served. He came to first serve you. He came to love you. He came to be devoted and committed to you. He was willing to commit to you even before you were ready to commit to him. There is no master. There is no God like our God. It's only when Jesus becomes our one treasure that we can echo with Paul in Philippians 3:8. And I want to encourage you guys to turn there. When Jesus becomes your one treasure, you'll be able to echo this with Paul. And as we read Philippians 3:8, it's undeniable that for someone like Paul, Jesus was his one treasure. Philippians 3:8. It says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss, even treasures on earth, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things," again, even treasures on earth, "and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." All he wants is to gain Christ. All he wants is to know Christ more. Christ is his treasure. As we come to a close, I want to talk about really quick, what does a life look like when you're living with Jesus as your treasure? What does a life look like when you're laying up for yourselves treasures on earth? And one of the more obvious things is that you hold treasures on earth loosely. If treasures in heaven, if Jesus as your one treasure is really the one thing that you want, you'll hold treasures on earth more loosely. It means that you'll use treasures on earth to love God and love others through giving. And that's what he says in Matthew 19:21. When Jesus is talking to the rich man, he's saying, "What do I need to do to get eternal life?" What he eventually challenges the rich man to do is, you know what, go and sell everything and you'll have treasures in heaven. Give to the needy, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. What might that look like for you if you hold treasures on earth loosely? Maybe it means that your homes, your apartments, it's not just for yourself and your family. It might mean that you open it up and invite others into your home. It might mean that you're giving up of your time to spend with others. And for some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, time is more valuable to us than money, monetary things, tangible things. Sometimes time is so much more important to us. And Jesus says, you know what? If you hold that loosely, that means giving up of your time to love God and to love others. It might mean that you meet a material need as you're able to. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he has a quote as he wrote a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. He wrote a quote that I think is extremely challenging and very pointed in terms of what he says here. But he says this, and I don't have it up on the PowerPoint, but if you listen to me, this is what he says. "Use your resources while you're here in this world. Use your resources while you're here in this world, that when you arrive in glory, when you go to heaven, the people who benefited by it will be there to receive you." What does it look like to hold treasures on earth loosely? Jesus says, use it so that there are eternal consequences. Use it for others so that those who are blessed by what you have give thanks and praise to God, believe in Jesus, and actually meet you there in heaven, are there to greet you and to even thank you for holding treasures on earth so loosely and pointing them to the real treasure, who's Jesus Christ. My prayer is that our lives might become more and more spiritually farsighted. My prayer is that we might serve God each and every single day as we lay up treasures in heaven. Please pray with me. Father, as we live each day, sometimes the things that we see is all that we know. Sometimes the things that we experience, Lord God, is what's real to us. But Lord, through your word, you've shown us something that is far more real than what our sensory experiences tell us. That there are things that are unseen, that are these things, treasures in heaven is what we need to lay our hope in. It's treasures in heaven, God's kingdom, your kingdom, eternal life, perfect righteousness. It's these things that we need to live our lives for. Lord, you know that this is hard. You know that this is so difficult. And this is exactly why you've not only sent your Son, but this is why you've given us your Spirit who dwells in us, so that we might lift our eyes up to heaven, so that our minds and our hearts might be focused singularly on you. And so, Lord, won't you do that work in us? Help us to be people who point others to you as we lay up treasures in heaven. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.